it's been a great evening, hasn't it? You know, that holy, 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 amen. When I hear that song, I got to bow my head to think that God would use me.
Amen.
Yes. I feel so worthless in the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
You know, one of the things I look forward to is the day when I talk to God, that I don't have to confess my sins. I don't know about you, but it seems like every morning I get up and there's something I've got to take to the Lord in confession. I sometimes get frustrated with that. I so look forward to the day when it will all be praise.
Amen.
And no more asking.
Amen.
I really do appreciate that song so much. Man, I've got two of my handkerchiefs up here. Amen. I talked to my wife today and I told her that I said, well, she said, how'd things go? And I said, well, I think they went well. I think the Lord blessed. And I said, she knew I was preaching at 8:30. And I said, yeah, I got done right on time, just like the pastor wanted. She says, well, what about the 11 o'clock hour? That's a wife for you, brother. I said, well, you know, about 12:30. Yeah. She said, uh-huh. I said, but you got to realize I showed my video and I talked about the ministry, so that took some time. So really, I was done by 12:20. Thank God for our wives, brother. Amen. And I do miss her, by the way. I wish she was here. By the way, you like my new glasses? I just got these things. I had the wire rim before, and church wanted to buy me new glasses. I don't know. No, they asked for needs, and I said, well, I do need a new pair of glasses. So Debbie went with me to pick a pair of glasses out, and we were trying different ones on. We tried these on, and, you know, I'd look in the mirror, and she said, I like those. And I said, well, I don't. She said, well, you don't have to look at them. Here they are. Amen. I never thought about that. I don't have to look at them. So if that's what she wants me to wear, she dresses me. Amen. I might look a little sloppy. That's because she's not here. Okay. You know, when the Lord called me to help ministers, and by the way, let me just say this before I forget. It has been a great week here. I enjoy so much the people that I have met and seeing your faces every night and greeting you and just talking about things and just getting to know each other better. I feel right at home here. I really do. And I want to thank you for making me feel at home. I want to thank you for the good accommodations you've given us and the food. Oh, my. I'll tell you what, it was great. And just everything you've done, the fellowship, your kindness, your generosity. You're a great church. And as our brother said, Friendship Baptist Church. This is a friendly church. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. But you know, as the Lord worked in my heart in 2016 to step out into the ministry that I'm doing now, working with these national pastors, these third world nations, and endeavoring to help them to get support here, God renewed a vision in my life that I had when I started out back in 1979. Somewhere along the way, I lost that vision. I've always been mission-minded. I've always stressed missions in my churches. I've always had mission conferences. Oh, man, last night, that gym was decorated beautiful. Just beautiful. I believe in doing all that for a missions conference. I believe in going first class in everything that you do. I do. And I've always believed in missions, and I've always been strong on it. But somewhere along the way, when I started that church in East Haven, Connecticut, I lost this vision for missions. And God used this vision. He renewed it in my heart through the scriptures to show me that I needed to step out and do what I'm doing. And what I'd like to do tonight, I would like to share that vision with you. Because I believe it's God's vision for missions. I truly do. Now, before I do that, I just want to ask you a simple question. We've been here all week, and boy, the attendance has been tremendous. And good attendance tonight. But I have a question for you. Being a mission conference, what is your vision for worldwide missions? What is your vision for worldwide missions? Tonight, let me show you God's vision. So take your Bibles, please, and go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. You're going to like this. When you find it, put a marker in it. Amen? Matthew chapter 28. And then when you get done finding Matthew 28, go on over to Acts chapter 2. Matthew 28, Acts chapter 2, and put a marker there as well. And then when you find Acts chapter 2, I want you to turn back to Mark chapter 16. I know what you're thinking. Well, why didn't we turn there next? Well, because that's where I got the scripture laid out here. So Mark 16, go back to Mark chapter 16, and that's where we're going to read tonight to start our study. God's vision for missions, worldwide missions, okay? So Mark 16 is our text. We'll start from there, and then we'll look at these other two references as time goes on. And quite frankly, we're going to go through the book of Acts a little bit tonight that I think will be a real blessing to you. Praise God, we have a risen Savior. Who's amen to that? I'm so glad that I learned that God, that Jesus was God and is God. He became a man, and he lived a sinless life for me and died for me. He shed his blood for me. He paid the price for my sin, and thank God he rose from the dead. To be quite frank with you, I wouldn't be here tonight if he hadn't risen from the dead. I'd be out in that river up in Pulaski fishing. Amen? I'll tell you that right now. But you know, we've got a risen Savior. And you know what? Isn't it exciting we're going to see him one day? We walk by faith, but we're promised that one day we're going to be walking by sight for all eternity. What a day that would be. And so the Lord is risen in our text. And you know, the first people he appeared to was his church. That church that he built while he was here on the earth. And I want to read just a little bit of what he said here. In verse 14, afterward he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What damns a sinner to an eternal hell? Unbelief in Jesus. Amen? Not baptism. Amen? Unbelief in Jesus. He makes that very plain. But I want us to especially focus tonight on a very familiar verse, and that's verse 15. Go ye, said the Lord, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the joy of being here. Boy, I've been so blessed this week. Thank you for that message from Brother Patala. What a preacher. God, I'm so excited. Father, there is a testimony of what you're doing around the world. He's a good man. He loves you. He's dedicated. And Father, I thank you for the message on the love of God constraining, or the love of Christ. I pray that we'll couple that tonight with your vision for worldwide missions. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd have liberty in each of our hearts to teach us and to convict us. And that, Father, we'll leave here tonight more determined than when we came to be found faithful in getting the gospel throughout the world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I praise God, I got saved through the influence of a Baptist church. Now, I realize you can get saved any place. It doesn't have to be through the influence of a Baptist church. Amen? But I just thank God that I got saved through the influence of a Baptist church. When I was 17 years old, I stepped into a Baptist church for the first time in my life because there was a very pretty girl that I wanted to sit with. I noticed her when I was graduating from high school, and she was becoming a senior. We were having a softball game with the faculty, and I went over to her. Actually, she wasn't the first one I noticed. And I went over to this lady that the first one I noticed, and I was talking to her, and this other lady come along, and she kept butting in on us, and I was trying to set up a date with this girl. And I was getting so disturbed with that girl. I'd say something, then she would butt in and say something. I'd go do my batting. By the way, I was Casey in baseball, so I always struck out. Then I would come back and talk to her, and she'd be right there interrupting us. I thought, man, girl, get lost, will you? I'm trying to get a date with this girl. Well, then I said to this girl, I said, can I run you home? And this girl over here says, what are you going to do, put her on your back and run her home? Ooh. So I had to take both of them. Yeah, they're like glue. That was her best friend. Guess what, folks? The girl I was trying to date, I took her home first. And then I dropped off the other one. I said, hey, the one that was a pain, she's not now, but the one that was a pain, I said, would you like to go out with me? She said, sure. She said, why don't you come to church? That's where you can see me. I said, oh, where do you go? Perry Baptist Church. I said, okay. When I dropped her off and started back to my house, I got thinking, that's where those Jesus nuts are. My goodness, they talk about heaven and hell and all that kind of garbage, and I don't want to go there, but boy, she was pretty. So I went. Amen? And there she was. She was waiting for me. I sat next to her, and the preacher got up, and he preached. And I'll tell you what, I was convinced that she did a research on me and handed all her notes over to the preacher, because it felt like he was preaching right at me through the whole message, talking about heaven and hell and talking about Jesus and salvation and that we're all sinners, mind you. I didn't like that. I was so upset with that preacher. I couldn't wait for the whole thing to get over with. And I remember, you know how the preachers get to the back door and they shake your hand. So we had to go through the door, and she walks up to Pastor Hawkins, and she said, "Pastor, this is John Mills." Now, mind you, I'm upset with this guy. I can't wait for him to get out of here. I'm not coming back again. No one's going to tell me I'm going to hell. Amen? I was a Christian Scientist. I was a scientist and a Christian. Amen? And so I didn't like what I heard. So he says, "Well, John, it's good to have you here." And then he said this, "Are you coming back tonight?" I thought to myself, tonight? Good night. I've sat 2 hours in this church and I've got to come back tonight too? No way. And I looked at Debbie and I looked at him and I looked at Debbie and I looked at him and I looked at Debbie and I looked at him and I said, "I'll be back." For almost a year, the Lord had to work in my heart to make proud John Mills humble and ashamed of his sin before a holy God and realize that, oh, he deserves the judgment of God, but thank God for his love. And I responded to the love of Christ and accepted Christ as my Savior. And that pain became a blessing to me. Her name is Debbie, and she's my wife. But I'll tell you what, I thank God for the influence of a Baptist church. Let me tell you why I thank God for it. Number one, I believe a true New Testament Baptist church is the Lord's church. I do. I believe it's a church of the living God. When Paul said to Timothy, "If I tarry long, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth," I think he was talking about a New Testament Baptist church. I think he's talking about Friendship Baptist Church. Also, our church membership is Bible doctrine. Amen? We're a company of believers brought together by the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, followed by believers' baptism. That's what makes up the membership of this church. Who say amen to that? That's Bible. That's what the Lord taught. Amen? But also, our church doctrine is Bible doctrine. I like this. I like to know that what I believe is because the Bible says it. I don't have to look at some church father to know what I believe, amen? I just need to look at the Father through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and Word of God, and God has taught me what I need to believe, amen? Hey, I hope I don't offend someone tonight, but I'm just glad I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm just glad I'm not a Methodist. Man, I talked to a Presbyterian once about baptism, why they baptize infants. I got so confused, amen? He almost confused me to believing. I mean, I'm so thankful I'm a Baptist, but let me give you the last reason why I'm thankful I'm a Baptist. Because the Lord promised to reproduce his churches throughout the ages until he comes again. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have committed to you." Now watch this. Are you looking? Look at your Bible. "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know what the end of the world is there? Jesus is coming back. Amen. And until he comes back, he promised that he would be reproducing his churches throughout the ages unto his coming again. Brethren, there's never been a time on this earth since the Lord's return to heaven that his churches did not exist. Every generation's had the presence of his Lord's churches. And brethren, I've got good news for you. They are found throughout the world today. They're all over the world today. Jesus has reproduced his churches throughout all the world. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, don't need to turn there, but we're told that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. You know, praise God, the head of this church is not some mortal, corruptible man, but the immortal, incorruptible Son of God. Amen? Amen? Jesus is the head of this church. And praise God, our headquarters is not in some city in this world. Boy, I'm glad my headquarters is not in Rome. Amen? But our headquarters is at the throne of God in the heavenly city. Amen. My, praise God. And as the head of his church, he reproduces his churches with a command. There's a command that goes with reproduction. What's that command? Go throughout all nations and preach the gospel to every creature, and baptize the new believers, and add them to the church, and disciple them. Teach them the commandments of Christ. Now, don't miss this. And reproduce churches who will go do likewise. Reproduce churches who will go do likewise. I've had good fellowship here this week. I really have. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed meeting you. I can't remember your names, but I recognize the face. But I enjoy, I've enjoyed it. And praise God for, that's a benefit. And we need that, by the way. We need to get together. I looked at your activities and the volleyball and all that. Amen. That's good. But, that's the blessing, but not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. And baptize the new believer and add them to the church and teach them the commandments of Christ and reproduce churches who will go do likewise. That's the purpose of this church. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen. More than just a couple? That's the purpose of this church, right? Thank God for your fellowship. You need that. Sometimes I have people say this to me. That church is not very friendly. They're not very friendly. And you know what I give them? Now, I can't give you the verse, but he that has friends, Proverbs. Amen. You want friends? Be friendly. Amen. You don't want friends? Keep doing what you're doing. Okay. So, but that's the purpose of the church. And for the most part, we Baptist churches have had a vision to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We endeavor to evangelize our community and send a God-called missionaries around the world. America has a rich history of sending multitudes of missionaries. Hey, we've sent more missionaries than England did in her prime. What a history we have. And by the way, missions begins right outside that door. I like what someone said. I think it was you, brother. We're all missionaries. Amen. When we got saved and identified the Lord's church, we were called to be missionaries. Our responsibility is right out there in Jerusalem, but we can't stop at Jerusalem. We've got all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost. Amen. And praise God for the great mission endeavors of our churches in America. These nationals that come and give testimony, if you talk long enough with them, sometimes they'll mention it in their preaching or testimony, but you'll find behind many of these national pastors is an American missionary that has gone and reached those people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had a man, Brother Stephen, up in Northeast India. His grandfather back then was a headhunter. And he had a bunch of heads on his hut. He said, one day an American missionary came and preached the gospel. And grandpa got saved. And grandma got saved. And the tribe got saved. And one day, grandson Stephen, he got saved. And dad got saved. And mom got saved. All because of American missionary. Praise God for the tremendous influence our nation has had throughout the world in getting the gospel to them. But brethren, we're losing ground. We really are. We're not gaining. We're going backwards. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, the population has increased to 7.6 billion, and there's over 3 billion people that have never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're losing ground. How can that be, by the way? How can it be possible that there's people that have never heard the gospel of Christ in this age of great technology that we live in? You know, where I can be here and I can talk to someone, they can see me over in India, right here. And yet there's 3 billion people who have never heard the gospel of Christ. We're losing ground. 57% of world languages are still in need of a completed Bible. Over 2,000 languages, and I might be a little conservative on this, over 2,000 spoken languages have not even a portion, not even the John and Romans, not even John 3:16 in their languages. Yeah, real conservative. Out of every 2 American missionaries going to the mission field, 1 comes back within 2 years. 1 comes back within 2 years. The United States of America, that once the leading nation of sending missionaries around the world, has now become a mission field, and we have foreign missionaries coming into our country. I had the policy of always picking up the speaker at the airport. I never let anyone else do that. That was my blessing, my responsibility. I liked it for 2 reasons. Number 1, I got the fellowship of the speaker. Number 2, I could take him out for dinner on the church tab. I liked that. Amen, and I did it. But I'll tell you what, three times at the airport, I've met missionaries from Korea. I've met missionaries from Japan. I've met missionaries from the Philippines who are coming into this country to do mission work. What a sad commentary on America. We're losing ground. But may I remind you of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Do you understand today that a person must hear about Jesus if there's any hope for him? And if he never hears about the Lord and dies, the wages of sin is death. And God reminds us in John 3:16, he so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And yet multitudes of souls whom Jesus died for and rose again are dying every day, even as I'm speaking, and going to an eternal hell because they've never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are losing ground. We are. But the question is, why are we losing ground? Why is that? Well, I don't believe it's because of a 7.6 billion population. What do you think? I mean, I don't think God gives us commandments that we cannot, through his grace, do. I think if God says to reach every person, we can do it. Amen? I think we can do it. So I don't think that's the problem. The population is not the problem. I don't believe it's because of a lack of God-called missionaries, though I've already mentioned we have a famine in America of people surrendering to the mission field, a real famine, a real famine. So many mission conferences, the majority of them don't have anyone surrendering to the mission field. But I'll say this to you, just kind of encourage you a little bit. They're surrendering over in Togo. They're surrendering in the Philippines. They're surrendering down where you're working, in Fiji, and where you're working, my dear brother. Praise God, other places they are, but not here in America. I don't believe it's because of a lack of resources or the economy. For 8 years, we heard how bad things were in America under President Obama. Can I be frank with you? Not. I put on weight while he was president. So I must have been pretty well off. Listen, resources is not the problem. It's not the problem. Listen, God owns this world. Amen. The silver and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. That's not the problem. I believe the problem is back in Mark 16, verse 15. If you look at it one more time, here's what Jesus said. Now look at it. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, I would encourage you tonight to underline those last three words. To every creature. And if you don't believe in underlining your Bible, then I would encourage you to hand it to someone that does and let them underline it for you. Because that's the reason why we're not reaching this world today. We have a world vision, but not an every person vision. We want to reach the world, but every person is not on our mind. We've just got a world vision. Amen? That's our problem. We've limited the Lord's command to take the gospel into all the world instead of every person throughout the world. God says every person. We have a burden to reach the world with the gospel, but not every person. We labor to reach the world with the gospel, but not every person. That's why there's 3 billion people who have never heard the gospel yet. Come on, brethren. Listen, that's why it is. That's the reason. We don't have an every person burden and vision for the gospel to get to them. That's why there's 2,000 languages without even a portion of God's word. Hey, there's no excuse for that today. Not in this day that we live in. The problem is we don't have an every person vision. You know, when I started a church in East Haven, Connecticut, fresh out of seminary and excited about being used of the Lord and starting a church, man, I was determined to get the gospel in every house. That was my goal, brother. And I was determined every person needed to get the gospel. But somewhere along there, I surrendered every person for just the world. Are you following what I'm trying to say tonight? And I got a world vision, but not an every person vision. And praise God for what he's done. I've always, like I said, I've been mission-minded. But when the Lord began working in my heart to surrender to work with these men, that's what God reminded me of. Remember, John, when you started out back in 79, you were so determined to get the gospel to every person in your community. And then along the way, you kind of shortened that to just the world. You follow what I'm trying to say? That's why we're falling behind. And I want to ask you one more time, what is your vision for worldwide missions? Is it the world? Praise God for what we've done here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to whip us tonight and to say we're not doing a good job. We're just losing ground. That's all I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord for what you've done with missions. Praise God, 40-some missionaries that you're supporting. Praise God for that. But my question remains the same. What's your vision for missions? Is it the world or every person throughout the world? Because you see, there is a difference. We're more so conscious when every person is our vision. There's a greater burden outside those doors for your community when it's an every person vision. You can't, how often do we just walk about by people and it doesn't bother us? And we go on our way and do our thing. I'm in a rush. You know, get out of my way. Get out of my way. You know, and we don't even think about their souls. But I guarantee you, if you have an every creature vision, it'll bother you. You'll wonder. The Holy Spirit will have more liberty in your heart to work and to encourage you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your vision? What's your vision for missions? Is it the world or every person throughout the world? You see, God's vision is every person throughout the world. You know why? Because he so loved the world. And the early churches in the book of Acts had a command and a vision for taking the gospel to every creature. And they did it. They actually did it. Did you know that? In the book of Acts, in the first century, every person under heaven heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know what you're thinking. That's impossible. I don't believe that. That just can't be. Well, then let me ask you something. Do you believe the Bible? Well, yeah, I believe the Bible. Then let's see what the Bible has to say. And if the Bible teaches it, will you believe it then? Well, yeah, I'll believe it. Good. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, drop down to verse 5 with me. You're going to move along now. Amen. I'm putting it in third gear. We're sliding good here now. All right? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost. And look at verse 5 with me. The Bible says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." Now, do you believe the Bible? The Bible says every nation under heaven. The day of Pentecost. You know the story. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church to do the work of God. They began, those 120 believers began praising God for his wonderful works in the languages from where all these Jews had come from. It drew them to them because they heard the wonderful works of God being proclaimed in their language, and it got a crowd. And then Peter stood up and he preached. Amen. You following me? And if you drop down to verse 42, the Bible says, verse 41 rather, "Then they that gladly received this word were baptized." You know what that means? Gladly received this word. They got saved. I was glad and I got saved. How about you? And not only did they get saved, but they got baptized. And the same day they're adding them about 3,000 souls. They were added to the Lord's church, according to verse 47. 3,000 sinners were saved and baptized. Wow. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there that day? That is something. I've had, if you take my statistics, I've had more people get saved and not baptized than got, you know what I'm trying to say? It's not very high. A lot of people have gotten saved, but boy, I'll tell you what, the minority have gotten baptized. 3,000 saved, baptized. Now, my question to you is this: where did they come from? We were already told. Every nation under heaven. I have a name for them. I call them nationals because they weren't from Jerusalem. They were from every nation under heaven. And look at verse 42. They continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. What's the apostles' doctrine? Of course, that's the preaching and teaching of the apostles. What did they teach them? The commandments of Christ. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, said the Lord. I think he taught them this: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of the commandments. And with that in mind, go to Acts chapter 8 with me. Acts chapter 8 and drop down to verse 3. In chapter 7, we have a man by the name of Saul, a Pharisee, a very mean man who hated the way and was determined to stamp it out. He was a murderer, to be quite frank with you. He murdered Christians. Later on, he gives that testimony. And he made children orphans on streets and threw moms and dads in jail. He was raising havoc with the church. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, now watch this, they went everywhere preaching the word. Not somewheres, everywhere they went preaching. Hey, they just didn't find another place where they could move and there wouldn't be any persecution. They went preaching the gospel. And they went everywhere doing that. Now, my question to you is, who were they that went everywhere? I believe it was probably some of the residents of Jerusalem, but you got to keep in mind that church was still there, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I believe the majority of them were nationals who went back to their homeland and the regions beyond with a command to preach the gospel to every creature, and they reproduced churches who went throughout their nation and the regions beyond with a command to preach the gospel to every creature, and they reproduced churches who went throughout their nation and the regions beyond with a command to preach the gospel to every creature, and they reproduced churches who would go do likewise. Amen. Now, with that in mind, go to Acts chapter 9. Drop down to verse 31. In this text, Acts 9, Saul gets saved, praise the Lord. And right after Saul's conversion, Acts 9, verse 31, the Bible says this, then had the churches, oh, we went from church to churches. But it gets better. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Oh, my. They're popping up all over the place. But it gets better. And were edified, built up in the Lord, built up in the doctrines of Christ, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Do you understand what was multiplied back then? God's churches were being multiplied. It wasn't one at a time. Well, we'll get this church going, and after that, then we'll move over here, and one plus one plus, no, 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 two, maybe three over here would pop up, and then maybe four or five over here, maybe three over here. So they were multiplying. And brethren, notice the result of, where did these churches come from? Not Paul's missionary journey. He hadn't even started yet. They came from the nationals. They went back to their home with a command to preach the gospel to every creature and reproduce churches who went throughout their home and their regions beyond with a command to preach the gospel to every creature, who went throughout their nation and the regions beyond reproducing churches with a command to preach the gospel to every creature. And churches were multiplied. And brethren, please hear me on this. If we're going to reach 7+ billion people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, churches must be multiplied. They must be multiplied or it's not going to happen. They must be multiplied. Missions for us is getting the gospel to them, but also to see churches multiplied. That's the hope for every person hearing the gospel. You know why? Because that's God's plan. God didn't call the Protestant movement, Reformation, to reach the world. I'm not a Protestant. Amen. I'm a Baptist. Amen. And he didn't call Martin Luther or Calvin or any of those others to reach the world. He called his churches to do that. And the churches were just multiplying throughout the world back then. Well, let's go over to Acts 19 and look at verse 10. Now we're looking at Paul the missionary. And I suppose if we were to come up with one name in the book of Acts, it probably would be Paul. I mean, what a great missionary he was. Three missionary journeys. And let's see what it says here in Acts 19, verse 10. Paul is in Ephesus. He's been there for 2 years. And the Bible says in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years. That is, he's in Ephesus for 2 years. So that all, now watch this, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Do you believe what the Bible says? All they, not some of they, not most of them, but all of them in Asia, mind you. That's a big area. Every person heard the gospel, and just to make sure, you got God's message and what he was saying, he went on and said, both Jews and Greeks. You know what a Jew is? He's a non-Greek. And you know what a Greek is? Non-Jew. And they all got the gospel, every one of them. How did all they which were out in Asia heard the gospel? Surely Paul could not run all over and get the preach. He trained the men, the churches, to go into the regions beyond with an every creature vision and burden, and to reproduce churches that would do likewise. And every person in Asia heard the gospel of Christ. Well, look at one other place here. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I love this one. Chapter 1. The church of Thessalonica was started by Paul in the second missionary journey. He's sending a letter to them. And we're going to save some time. Drop down to verse 6. He said, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sent out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia," that's where Thessalonica was, "and Achaia," that was bordering Macedonia, "but also in every place your faith to God would have spread abroad," now watch this, "so that we need not to speak anything." Do you realize what the missionary Paul is saying? "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Woe to me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." He's saying, you know, you've done such a thorough job in reaching every person with the gospel that I'm going to places, I don't have to say anything. You've already done it. Is that not what he's saying? "I've already done it. You've already done it. I don't have to say anything. You've been so thorough and so committed in getting the gospel to people that I have gone to areas they've heard it already." How could that be? I'll tell you how it could be. They had a command and a vision to reach every person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us what the Lord's church has accomplished in that generation. Go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Another church that God used Paul to establish on his missionary journeys. And I'm just going to read the verse to you. I think you'll catch why we're looking at this verse. This verse tells us what the Lord's church has accomplished back then. He said, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard," now watch this, "and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." Wow. Every person under heaven. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God means what he says? Oh, preacher, come on. You don't really think he meant every person, do you? He just meant the world. Really? Then why did you see Jesus say, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? Oh, preacher, you need to understand that just speaks of the known world. Now that's an interesting phrase. The known world. K-N-O-W-N. Known world. What is the known world? Then why did Paul say to the church at Rome, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world"? Man, they did it. Every person back in the book of Acts heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, we wrestle with that, don't we? That's impossible. Hey, didn't I not preach all things are possible with God? Didn't I not preach that God even gave us a promise? If you will have faith and follow me, follow this word according to by faith and follow what I teach, nothing should be impossible unto you. Every person received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not been like that ever since. You can study church history all you want. You'll not find another generation where every person received the gospel of Christ. You know why? Because it hasn't happened. And I'll tell you why it hasn't happened. God's churches. I'm not going to blame the Protestants. I'm not going to blame the Catholic Church. I'm going to blame God's churches. We lost the vision for every person to receive the gospel. We've lost the command. We've settled for a world to receive the gospel and not every person to receive the gospel. And brethren, here's what we need to understand. If we're going to reach every person with the gospel of Christ in this generation, then God will use his Baptist churches all around the world to do it. And that includes the nationals. And we Baptist churches who live in the richest nation of the world need to have an every creature vision and financial support, not only our American missionaries, but also the national missionaries that God will bring our way. And by the way, if you want him to bring them your way, he will do it. He will do it. Nationals, third world nations, who need so little and can do so much, who already speak the language and know the culture, and when a trial comes in their life, they're already home. National pastors. and missionaries. They're part of God's plan to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. And we Baptist churches here, we're so blessed with wealth. Come on. We're so blessed with wealth. We really are. My goodness. Brother Bill, he's got so much money. After we got done soul winning, he took us to Dunkin' Donuts for a cup of coffee. I was trying to listen to see how much it would cost him. I don't think it was more. What was it, $17, $18, something like that? See, he's even getting a little quiet. Did you notice that? He had no trouble paying it with that plastic card. No trouble paying it. Did you pay card or cash? Oh, good boy. Amen. See, he's got money. I told you, he's got money. He paid it with cash. I'm just trying to make a point tonight. We are really very well off. And I think God has done that for you with purpose, that you would take his wealth and invest it in his love for people, so love the world, and that you would invest in getting the gospel throughout the world with an every creature vision. What's your vision for worldwide missions? Is it the world or every person throughout the world? What's your vision? Last year, I came up to preach at the church I once pastored, and there was an Amish horse and buggy on the road. I've forgotten about those down south. You just don't see them. And, you know, the law says they've got the right to that half of the road, just like a car. And they know the law. They stay on their half. They take the whole half. You know how fast a horse goes? You know how fast a car goes? Boom! Amen. And I want to get to this meeting. I'm tired. I've come all the way from Hinesville, Georgia. And I'm trying to get by this car and other, or this horse and buggy, and these cars are going by me. Finally, I get my brake, and I get, boom, get beyond them. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm not Amish. God smote my heart. He didn't verbally speak to me. If he did, I'd still be running. But he did impress my heart with this. John, that's the way I reached the world, back in the book of Acts. Some had a buggy, but most did not. But everyone had 2 feet. Everyone had a command from the Lord whom they loved. The love of God constraineth us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And with their 2 feet and a few buggies and maybe a few horses, they took the gospel to every person throughout the world. We have no excuse. All we need is a vision and a burden and obedience. What's your vision for worldwide missions? Maybe you need to stretch that tonight. Maybe your vision is the world. Praise God. And again, thank God for what you've done. Please don't misunderstand me. But maybe you need to stretch that vision tonight to not just the world, but every person through it, throughout it. I believe it'll make a difference in what you do for missions. Father, thank you so much for our study tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful church. It is wonderful because, Father, there's a group of people here that love you. They have wonderful testimonies of what you have done in their life. There's a group of people here that wants people to receive the gospel of Christ. They have a strong missions program. But Father, could it be that some of us, if not many of us, we've shortened the command to just the world and not to every person throughout the world? And could it be tonight that there needs to be a dedication to this altar whereby we will stretch our vision from the world to every person throughout the world? God, I pray that we would be obedient tonight. We do that. You love us. The love of Christ constrains us. We've already been taught that. Help us, dear Father, to have your vision for world missions. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand tonight. Amen.